All right, Kevin Barker, why don't we just pretend the ninth inning didn't happen? How about that? Would you be okay with that? Have you you've done this before? Just push the little red button there.
I did. There it is. There's look at that. Somebody didn't turn me on.
I'll tell you
what. Hi, everybody.
Almost makes me think the Blue Jays bullpen was operating.
6-2, the Blue Jays lost to the New York Mets. The bullpen gave it up again. Chad Green was not very good. A couple of errors and walks, and that's it. Now let's talk about Bowden Francis. Now, Kevin, you made this point very early. We're watching the game. It's the same thing I know Buck and Dan talked about. It. Velo down.
Yeah.
Two and a half miles an hour.
Yeah.
He's had a great run of games. This is probably the worst, quote-unquote, stuff we've seen him have in those games.
For a while, yep.
Yet he carried a no-hitter into the ninth inning against a team that's...
Can't hit.
Well, yeah, but they're a wild-card team that can't
they
hit.
They are their playoff team.
With an MVP in the top of the order and the guy in the middle of the order.
Oh, you said he's an MVP.
I said an MVP candidate. MVP candidate.
If they make the playoffs... He should be the MVP of the National League, but that's
another story
here nor there.
So why was
that's a great question. Look, you know, I think when your fastball's in the zone 72% of the time, and you know, sometimes when you say zone, you know, you could almost take that in many ways. I think his misses were on point, meaning when he missed, it was a good miss. It wasn't down the middle like the 0-2 pitch to Lindor, right? I mean, he'd set that Lindor at bat up, right? He went fastball away like he had done all day. Then he went split finger down, and then him and Servin were on the same page. They wanting it up, right? He gets it up. Lindor's out. He misses by just a couple of inches right down the middle, and the MVP hits it to the moon. You know, I think that's sort of what it is. I've been saying this since his little hot streak is, forget about the split finger. I know everybody likes to talk about that, but for me, it's the fastball. I think, again, this just goes to show you, no matter how hard you're throwing it, if you locate it and you can sort of set it up and get them in swing mode. I mean, he was only 16-24 throwing strike one. I know he got 24 outs. 18 of those were off his fastball.
How many whiffs?
He had
except the one I asked.
He had 10 swing and misses. I got every stat you need to know, Jeff, okay? He threw 57 fastballs. He had 37 swings off that. He had 18 outs off his fastball. That, I think, is all you need to know, right? When he establishes that, it was away to a righty. It was up to a righty. I know he'd been a little bit better throwing in, but maybe that's because he just didn't have confidence in his velocity. That's why he was, you know, more, if they're going to beat me, they're going to have to beat me the other way. And you know, this is sort of, I think, the Bowden of new is now he can pitch his way out of not having his best stuff. And I know you heard Buck talk about that, right? This is the most impressive start in a while for him.
Sure it is.
He didn't have his split finger. Like, he didn't have that. He had his curveball. He would throw that occasionally. He had the slider that he was throwing after he would set it up, going away with the fastball and up the fastball. So,
all right,
for him.
Let's get the historical stuff out of the way before our friends join us in TV. It is Blue Jays Talk, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. 416-413-3959. Leave us a voice note. 590-590 is the text line. Name and location, please. We're here with you until 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, soon to be joined by our friends on Sportsnet TV. So, you know by now that this is the second time in four starts that he's carried a no-hitter to the ninth inning. Taylor Ward broke up the other one in a home run. Francisco Lindor broke up this one. Four of his last six starts have he's allowed what? In four of his last six starts. I mean, he's been clearly dominant. He has now thrown three starts with a no-hitter through five-plus innings. That is tied for Blue Jays' record, along with Estrada, Morrow, Woody Williams, and Dave Steeb. This is the 13th time since 1920 a pitcher has had multiple no-hit bids of 8-plus innings in the season. The last one to do it was Max Scherzer with the Washington Nationals. Nolan Ryan is on this list three times, and Dave Steeb, who still has the only no-hitter in Blue Jays history. is also on that list. Francis is the fourth pitcher since 1920 with multiple no-hit bids of 8-plus innings in a season, but failed to record a no-hitter in either of them. He now owns the Blue Jays' record for starts with 7-plus innings and one hitter fewer allowed in a single season. That is 4. I mean, what more can you say about Bowden Francis? He's gone from being a guy who might have been a swing guy, a guy they really didn't know what they had, to, I've got to say right now, Kevin, a guy who, I mean, if knock on wood, if he can stay healthy through these final two starts, I think you pencil
yeah,
him
yeah,
in.
Yeah, see,
the
I disagree. The people that I talked to that matter that are making some of the decisions around there, I think they knew what he had. It was just you have Alek Manoah, you have other people that are trying to start ahead of him, and, you know, he's one of the sort of forgotten guys, right? He's a fill-in. He wasn't one of the starters. You'd rather have Alek Manoah or somebody else start, and I think they knew that he was pretty good if he got an opportunity to consistently have a routine and, you know, could figure out just what kind of pitcher he is, right? You know, he's got lots of confidence, and the tempo of the way he gets the ball, the sign, and throws it is off the charts, right? I'd tell you he's very confident. He's not thinking about mechanics. It's very simple now, right? That little thing he does, the side saddle, you know, just getting the leg up and getting it down on time and having the same release point. Now, like I said, your miss is when you throw what he's throwing now. The velocity has to be on point. If it's not, you're going to get hammered like the 0-2 pitch to Lindor. And consistently, he's been staying out of the middle of the plate. He does that again, no matter how hard you throw. It's not how hard you throw, it's where you throw it. And he's been doing that, and he's setting it up. And just so happens today, I think more impressed today just because he didn't have his split finger.
Right, and there was kind of a cool moment when he came out of the game as well that the cameras caught, and that was Sean Manaea. Actually, let's go to John Schneider, the Blue Jays manager, and we'll finish our thoughts on Sean Manaea later.
Defense, we had some Adam balls. Schneid's playing left, and he was getting a lot of weak contact. You know, his fastball was really good. You know, the velo was kind of hit or miss, but he was locating it really well and getting pop-up after pop-up. So I think the eighth inning really kind of just solidified it, you know, quick eighth. And I don't know how many other guys lose a no-hitter in the ninth on a homer twice in one season, but he was outstanding. You know, pitch mix was really good. But it was funny with myself and Pete kind of after the sixth. It's like, all right, here we go again, and you start kind of counting pitches. And but just an outstanding effort from him.
That eighth seemed like it helped him a lot to get him the ninth, but going into that at 102, like, where were you at in terms of a pitch number, what you needed to see to let him do this?
I think with the extra day's rest, you know, he was going, you know, he could have been at 120 after eight, he was going. So again, I don't like to mess with a chance at history, and, you know, it sucks for him that, you know, it's happened twice in the same fashion. And then unraveling quickly after that, but it was his.
Like you said, the last time there were a lot of strikeouts. This time only one, but the first trip through, tons of pop-ups,
yeah.
and I think only one ball hit on the ground. What was the difference today?
I think it was. I mean, to the eye, it looked like they were being aggressive to try to avoid his split, and they were swinging kind of early. I think the difference. You know, his fastball can do that. You know, I think when he's operating efficiently, his fastball can get either swing and miss or it can get pop-ups, you know, just with his delivery kind of deceptive and where he was locating it. So, you know, that's kind of by design when he's throwing that. And when he's throwing it there with the other pitches going along with it, it makes it really tough.
He has told us about his relationship with Servin, and he said when he got called up from Buffalo, he wanted to bring Servin up with him. He's been behind the plate for three of these one-hitters. Can you talk about that relationship at all?
Yeah, it's cool when that kind of thing develops, you know. You know, we joke about it a little bit after the stretch Bowden's had, but a lot of credit goes to Brian, too. You know, it's calling a really good game. I think besides the pitch where Bowden told Iglesias what was coming, they were pretty much on the same page. But it's cool to see that develop. It's cool to see that trust develop. And it happens kind of just organically over time, you know. you see it kind of often where people just trust one another, and they have a really good back and forth, a really good chemistry. And when a pitcher's confident with what's being called, usually they're making good pitches.
John, you mentioned the velocity was a tick down in this start, yet he still kept attacking with the fastball. How much is that a byproduct of just his confidence and his mindset these days?
Yeah, it's what I love about him, too, is, you know, he's had a really good stretch, and he's not backing off. He's not backing off of anything he's doing in between his starts. He's not letting his guard down and thinking that he's got things figured out. That's the biggest thing I love about him. And, you know, you look back at, you know, today, you know, almost getting a no or taking a no-hitter into the ninth, and even the last game against the Phils where he had a battle, it's just really encouraging for him and for us going forward that he can navigate, you know, when he doesn't have his best stuff or when he has to limit damage. So taking positives out of a unfortunate ninth inning, you know, I think what he's done the last two have just been outstanding.
In some of these no-hit bids, you see those special plays.
Yeah.
What did you think about Davis Schneider's catch? And when he did catch that ball, did you think, okay, this is something special today?
Yeah, it usually involves one of those plays. That ball kind of just kept going. And Schneider, that's a hell of a play for him, you know. I think at that point, yeah, you start thinking about it a little bit. You start thinking about how things lined up. You know, there was a lot of hard-hit balls that Nate in right field we were positioned perfectly for. You know, Vladdy grabs a liner, things like that. There was a lot, yeah, but after Schneider made that catch, you start thinking, oh, shit, here we go again, yeah.
John, losing it to Lindor instead of to Taylor Ward, was there anything in the at-bat that set the home run up for Lindor?
I don't think so. I mean, he gets a head strike one and then throws a good split, swinging strike. And he had a lot of success. He was trying to go up, you know, with the fastball, and it just wasn't quite there. But I don't think so. I mean, he's MVP candidate. You know, he's a really good player, and there's no home runs hit in the series up till the ninth inning today. And, of course, they hit two. But I think it was kind of dealer's choice there. Do you go fastball up for a pop-up swing and miss, or do you throw another split? So sucks for Bowden. You know, I feel for him because you can sit here and second guess a pitch call or a pitch selection, but you know, I think either way, it just missed his spot a little bit.
Just kind of on that note, do you think that Bowden is well equipped to take the positives from these types of experiences rather than sort of like cling to the negative of falling short twice?
Yeah, I think so, really. Like when I went out there, you know, he looked at me, kind of smirked and said, "We did it again." And I say, "Yeah, we had a couple run lead last time, but." I think so, yeah. You know, he's mature. He's really, really kind of wise beyond his years, and I think he has a really good job of looking at the big picture of things. So I think he will take a lot of positives out of this, and, you know, he'll probably laugh a little bit at the fact that he's lost two, you know, in the ninth inning on home runs, but I just can't speak enough to how he's evolved and how much he's taken from this opportunity. It's just been so cool to watch.
And obviously, I mean, he might take a no-hitter into the ninth every time he goes out there. But just overall, like, how good does the team feel that this is sustainable, that this is something that he's going to continue to build upon even going into next season?
Yeah, it's huge. It's, again, huge for him and really big for us. You know, it's you think back to the beginning of the year and we're talking about an opener and, you know, yanking him early. And just what he's done has just been so rewarding for a lot of people. I mean, him most importantly, but I think at this point, you know, you look and you say, okay, this is a guy who gets it, and this is a guy that is reliable, this is a guy that is continuing to evolve and continuing to want to get better, and that's just, you know, everything you could ask for in a starting pitcher.
You mentioned Pete Walker earlier. I think we all know Pete. He can get a little intense.
Yeah.
What is Pete like when this is happening, going to the seventh and eighth? Our broadcast kept showing him, and he looked like he was about to explode a couple of times as far as just because the intensity and I imagine the stress.
Yeah.
Do you have conversations about certain things at that point, or do you just kind of leave him alone?
Yeah. Some of it I can't share here, and some of it is just really, it's just very much like Pete. You know, you watch the game today, and there's some hard contact, and you know, the odds say that it's not going to work out the way it did for eight innings, right? In the seventh, he started talking to me about pitch count. You know, hey, I'd be okay if this is it for him. And I was like, I'm not. You know, he's like, well, assuming he gives up a hit. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, he's going. So we went back and forth a few times about it. But I think that Pete is so invested with his guys. And I think he's one of, if not the best in the business at what he does. The conversations are, they're kind of calming for me, actually. And, yeah, you got to talk to him about it, too, a little bit. But it's he starts really calculating in his head what's best for the guy, first and foremost. And I love having him next to me.
John, for a franchise that's almost 50 years and has had the caliber of pitchers here, to have only one no-hitter, obviously speaks to the challenge of it. Is kind of thinking about Bowden Francis, thinking about Dave Steeb going back-to-back outings, losing in the ninth with two out. Having watched it up close, obviously been around the game, just can you describe a little bit about the challenge of throwing a no-hitter and all the different elements that have to fall into place?
Man, it's so many things have to go your way, you know, whether it's a borderline pitch, a play made behind you, how you're feeling physically, so many, it has to really line up, you know. So when you think about us historically, it's really weird that it's worked out the way it has. And really weird for the same guy within a month. But there's so many things that go into it, you know. And Bowden's like the perfect guy for it to happen to twice, you know what I mean? If that sounds fine to say, it's just I hate that it happened for him, but it's – you know, he's kind of quirky a little bit, but there's a ton that goes into it. You know, a lot of things have to line up, and it's really weird that there's only been one for us, because we've had some really good pitchers here and still do have really good pitchers here. But I think that kind of speaks to the difficulty level of what that is.
As historic and noteworthy as a no-hitter is, how unusual is the wrong way to phrase this, but what the heck? But what does it say to have him have at least seven innings of one hitter four times in six starts?
It kind of speaks for itself, you know. We got to get Bassett to make another little sign to put behind him. But, it's when you have a couple good ones, you know, things can be, okay, you know, a little bit of luck involved, but when you're doing it consistently, it means you're doing something right. And I've said it for the last month, I think, but how Bowden has taken this opportunity and run with it, and again, not letting his guard down, I think has been huge. And it just bodes really well for him and for us going forward. But it's a pretty good sample size of him performing, him making adjustments along the way too.
That was Blue Jays manager John Schneider. Hello and welcome to our friends on Sportsnet television side, the Blue Jays 6-2 losers to the New York Mets this afternoon. But the big story, Bowden Francis again taking a no-hitter into the ninth inning, again losing it on a home run. The Jays franchise still with one no-hitter, that, of course, by Dave Steeb. Interestingly enough, because you heard Shai Davidi ask John Schneider about all the great, mentioned the great pitchers the Jays have, and how odd is it that they've only had one no-hitter. The New York Mets have had a lot of great pitchers. Mm-hmm. Johan Santana has thrown the only no-hitter by one pitcher in Mets history. Their second no-hitter was a combined no-hitter. Tyler McGill, Drew Smith, Jolie Rodriguez, Seth Lugo, and Edwin Diaz in 2022. So it's just that, obviously, it's a rarity. You don't see them a great deal. These are two franchises that don't make a habit of throwing no hitters at you. And we went, Kevin, to hear John Schneider, we'll listen for Bowden Francis. And I mentioned there was kind of a cool moment too, where Sean Manaea, who pitched really, you know, doesn't get mentioned here, but was really good himself in the Mets dugout, the Mets starter, looking over to Bowden Francis and tipping his cap to him, and Bowden Francis gave him the thumbs up. It's
Yeah, you. This is an amazing run for a guy. You know, never mind the carrying the two no hitters into the ninth. Just his batting opponent's batting average in these six starts is .092. That's the second lowest of a 6-year start in the live ball era. That's also since 1920. Like, we are literally talking about something historic.
Yeah, and he doesn't throw 99 miles an hour.
He doesn't throw 99.
Yeah, it's
exactly.
Closer to 90 than it is 100. Like, that's the coolest thing about it, right? It's, you know, he's a pitcher's pitcher, right? That he's trying to set up the split finger. He's trying to get called strikes with it. He wants that thing to carry the zone. He wants to locate away to a righty. He wants to get you to chase up with a fastball. Like, he's trying to set you up a couple of pitches in advance to, you know, just like he did Lindor. He had the elevated fastball set up. Right. I mean, John is talking about, you know, maybe he flips him a slow breaking ball. He's out and around. He rolls it over to Vladdy. But, you know, again, if he hits his spot, Lindor's out. Like, that's the sort of the game of inches when you're, you know, in the heat of the moment trying to do things. It's historic. You know, that's why it's so hard to do. I give him credit. I talked to him in spring training, man. He's like one of the nicest dudes in the world. He's very soft-spoken, as we all know. We listened to him talk there. And just sort of they used him like a yo-yo, right? It was how all the different ways they tried to force him into just being a pitcher instead of just saying, you know, here's the ball, go out there every 5 days. And now he's getting an opportunity, and he's one of the four guys now.
416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. Leave us a voice note, name and location, please. We will get it on air. 590-590 is the text line. The Mets scoring 6 runs in the ninth inning. They sent 11 men to the plate, a couple of home runs. You know, Chad Green didn't get any help from his defense to start the inning, but my goodness.
Three walks. There's no defense for walks. It's like Groundhog Day. Like, it's even when you're watching historic things from your starting pitcher, it still shines a light on why your team is having the year it's having.
Yeah.
The eighth and ninth inning, and offensively, now Sean Manaea is filthy. Like, that thing he's added with the sidearm and the crossfire and how big he is and how lanky he is. I mean, he'd give a lefty nightmares. Like, you know, Lopefito's going to go home and have twitches when he's laying in bed, Manaea twitches. But it's still sort of, again, that's the thing, right? Velocity, four seamers, and the eighth and ninth inning. And for me, if they don't go out and fix it.
Let's be clear. The Blue Jays bullpen this year has been catastrophic. That's the only word for it. It's been catastrophic. And, you know. It's
been that way about the middle of June off.
Well, it's been that way since Jordan Romano and Jimmy Garcia.
Jordan went May 30th.
Both down at the same time, and the decision was
June 17th is
not bother addressing the issue. But anyhow, we don't want to get into that. Today belonged to Bowden Francis.
Absolutely.
We're going to go live to Bowden Francis's interview. Right now, though, let's go to our board, our text line, 590-590. This is from David in Toronto. No, it's not. It's from Dan in Sarnia. Do you agree with this statement? Bowden Francis is the Blue Jays' number 4 starter for next season.
He's one of the 4.
He's one of the 4. I mean, I don't want to get
putting
into
a number on it. He ain't one of the 3.
He's going to go where?
So,
yeah.
That's
a good point.
How was that?
I will say this. There's a crap ton of separation between 4 and 5 right now. You know, barring a trade, there's a lot of separation here right now. Let's go to David in Toronto because he talks about something I know people are going to be talking about, and I want to dismiss it right away. We're here at the Dome watching this game fall apart. What is the possible reason for pulling Francis simply because of the home run? He was still pitching incredibly well today, and there's no reason to think it wouldn't continue. It certainly wouldn't have been worse than this, David, in Toronto. I wanted to get to this because I know there are people out there, and I hear it all the time. The guy's got a no-hitter. Why do you take him out as soon as he loses the no-hitter? Guy threw 111 pitches today. He didn't have his best velocity. It's
heart rate, mindset, it's overthrowing, it's how you would get hurt, it's being chapped that you gave up a hit. Like, it's all the things that would go into, you know, again, they're trying to control this thing from the sixth inning on. You heard it in John's voice. Like, here we go again. What are we going to do with this dude when the pitch count gets up? Like, they start getting nervous around a certain number, and then when they give it up and it's 111 pitches, they're just trying to keep him out of his own way. Basically, that's the thing.
Bowden Francis isn't used to throwing 111 pitches. There are not many pitchers in baseball are, to be honest.
That's why you have a bullpen.
And I've got to tell you the truth. I mean, I've covered a lot of no-hitters. I've covered a couple of perfect games. I've covered way more no-hitters that were broken up. At no point have I sat there and said, man, why did they take the starting pitcher out? If you're carrying a no-hitter in the ninth inning and you give it up, you give up the no-hitter. I think it would be...
It's what pitch. It's how you gave it up. I mean, 0-2 homer to a dude. Yeah. You're getting taken out of the game.
Yeah. No, and at that point, and again, as Kevin mentioned, you heard John Schneider talk about, they were having the discussion in the sixth and seventh.
Yeah, they saw the velocity. Velocity is an issue. Like, they worry about that.
Yeah.
And it was down.
416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. This is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The Blue Jays have lost 6-2 to the New York Mets. Once again, the bullpen gave it up. The Blue Jays, you know, they're playing a run of games against playoff teams. There's certainly these last six games have been consequential to the National League wildcard race. This was, and I just want to put this out there because I know it is Blue Jays talk. If the New York Mets go on to get that final playoff spot, they're going to look back at this game where they were no hit and their MVP candidate hit a home run in the ninth inning to break up a no-hitter and send them on the way. They're going to look back at this game as being really, really important. Conversely, if the Atlanta Braves lose that, if it comes down to one game or something like that and the Braves lose it.
Yeah, it's what good teams do. It's what playoff teams do. They have 27 outs.
Let's go to Bowden Francis. I was going to say the man of the moment. God, he's been the man of the last month.
Off of Lindor's bat and it went out, what immediately came to mind?
Again, I just felt like, I don't know, I didn't feel that one coming. I felt like, you know, I thought it was gonna get maybe a pop-up or something, but with that many pitches, I just felt like I had to kind of empty the tank with heaters and kind of let them put the ball in play like I was doing all day. It wasn't one of those days where I felt like I was gonna get a bunch of swing and miss, so I felt like I needed to attack the zone and just not get behind with guys, because I know more pitches, it was like less chance I was going to stay out there.
Kevin Gausman and Chris Bassett came over to you after, said something to you to make you smile. If you could share with us what it was that they were saying.
I'm trying to think, Colin. They were saying... That's not good that I don't remember that, but I don't know if I think they were like maybe saying that I had the gauze effect with my velo that day, just to take this week easier on my body, because I know that they know that I'm taxing it pretty hard right now. So I don't know if that made me laugh, but it wasn't something that crazy.
I'm sure you've always had confidence in yourself, but I mean, the run you're on right now, it's almost historic. I mean, have you proven something even to yourself over this, like, 6 weeks or so?
Proven something to myself. Yeah, that I can, you know, I can do this. I can start in the big leagues. I feel like I've always kind of believed that, though. I feel like a lot of people kind of, I don't know. A lot of guys kind of lost hope early on in this year. I didn't. But that's how things go. Everyone kind of says, what have you done for me lately type of thing. And I don't know. I feel like anyone can have two bad starts. I just felt like I'm getting my shot now, and I'm just trying to make the most of it. Just keep on trusting my stuff and trusting the people around me.
Do you think having now taken no hit bids like pretty deep into the game a couple times already, did that help you today?
Did it help yesterday?
Did it help you today?
Help today. Yeah, like going out there later in the game, it's not as new, I guess. More familiar feelings and feeling the crowd and having good little talks between innings with serve and yeah, it's always good to have stuff like that come up, and hopefully I keep building on it and keep having comfortability with me going longer in outings and stuff.
And specifically like in a no-hit bid, like in that kind of situation,
yeah.
It's probably tough to get experience doing that. Most pitchers probably don't even do it once. But now that you've done it a couple times, like, does that mentally get a little bit easier at all, or does it change at all?
A little bit, but, you know, there's always, like, stuff creeps in, negativity and doubts and all kind of stuff, but that's where you just kind of have to bring it back to trying to even it out with positivity. I always try to feed my mind with good stuff instead of wishful stuff. I always try to just believe my stuff and keep attacking, keep staying on my plan. I feel like I had a good plan going in, and I just try to keep trusting it.
What are you most proud of when it comes to today's performance?
I feel like I, going into it, like, I didn't feel great. I felt like a little fatigued. I didn't sleep great, so I feel like, I guess I'm proud of not letting the outside noise, like velo, stuff like that, affect it. It definitely creeped in. I was like, why am I throwing so slow? But I just kept trying to channel it and saying, your stuff's working, keep trusting the plan and keep them off balance. Just got to grind it out with those kind of days.
Did you hear the crowd when you came out of the dugout for the ninth inning? Were you aware the crowd noise?
Yeah, I felt it, yeah. Yeah.
And when you were coming off again?
Yeah, it was always stuff like that. It's pretty special, and I always try to cherish that and never take it for granted. I feel like it's super cool.
I was wondering for you, how are you processing getting so close a couple of times and not ending up with the no hitter?
I'm just going to learn. Like, I've gotten beat twice with fastballs, so I feel like maybe from here on out, when I get those deep, I got to empty the tank on some of the off-speed stuff or really mix it. But it's something I don't want to just, like, change just because it's the ninth inning, you know? I got to stick with my plan, but it's also I got to learn that, I don't know, I can't keep getting beat right there in that situation, but it's part of it.
Just like someone mentioned, it's hard to get to this point, to get so close. Having been this close a couple times, how do you reflect on just the challenge of being able to throw nine innings?
Don't let all, like, the external factors, like, bleed in. I feel like, you know, like sometimes your mechanics fatigue and stuff starts drifting, flying open. So I just try to keep trying to – my mechanics in a good spot and keep trusting my mechanics. It's later in the season, so I feel like my body's at, like, a good spot with remembering – like what my body needs to do. But days like this where I'm a little more fatigued, I feel like you just got to keep telling yourself that your stuff's there. It's not a big deal. You just got to keep chipping away.
That is Bowden Francis. And for those of you who are wondering, those of you watching on TV, Bowden Francis was wearing a cap or a ball cap, Western Hydrodynamic Research. And, Western, this is no surprise if you know Bowden Francis. Its core philosophy revolves around merging surfing, functionality, and environmental responsibility. It's basically a surf label product, Western Hydrodynamic Research. And, well, Bowden Francis is very much into that
stuff. I wish we could take the next 35 minutes and just listen to him talk.
Yeah. He might still be talking for 35 minutes. Unfortunately, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet and the Sportsnet Television Network. All right, welcome back to Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Parker. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. 590-590 is the text line. The Blue Jays 6-2 losers to the New York Mets. Bowden Francis losing a no-hit bid in the ninth inning. Francisco Lindor hitting a home run off him to end the no-hit bid and open the door to a six-run ninth inning for the Blue Jays. The Jays have tomorrow off. They welcome the St. Louis Cardinals into town. Connor in Fredericton left us a voicemail.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling in for a little question here. So with Bowden Francis being so dominant this season, where do you think Yariel Rodriguez goes? Do you think they move him to the bullpen? Do you think they keep him as a six-man rotation with Manoah coming back in? Like, just curious to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, not the six-man rotation. They're not doing that. The first three guys won't allow that to happen. That's not going to happen. They have enough off days to start the season next year. They're not going to have to do a six-man rotation. You have no idea what Alec Manoah will bring you. And hitting the ground running, starting the season next year is a must. So you're going to go with what you know. I would think with the money that they paid Yariel, he's starting. Like, I think they're sort of, you know, it's made the sending him to the pen and you know, having to make a decision sounds to me like they've already made one. And they got a lot of heavy lifting, like a lot of heavy lifting. And how many teams have five legitimate starters? If Bowden's really good, now you got four and you figure out your fifth guy. If you have to have an opener with him or you have to give him two or three innings to start to say, whatever it takes to get him through to give a better lineup a chance, and then you can turn it over to a better bullpen to win baseball games, then you do what you have to do. But for me, it's real simple. He's starting next year.
Yeah, I think that's I guess the door could open in the event of a trade. I mean, Kevin's talked about it. You've got to get – I understand it's a difficult situation because the Blue Jays' area of strength is their starting pitching. Their major area of weakness is the bullpen and the middle of the lineup. Sometimes you have to take from your strength to address your weaknesses. So I'm with Kevin right now. I think your five starters are here. You know, I don't know, maybe Jake Ploss gets a look. I mean, they'll bring, yeah, you know,
depth.
They'll bring guys into spring training. Right. Pardon me. Or they can trade him. But yeah, I think, you know, the development of Bowden Francis is
huge.
It's huge because not only, you know, not only does he solidify your rotation next year, but if you found something with him, you've got a guy who's going to be cheap for the next 2 years. And at some point, you know, there will be turnover in that starting rotation. Like, Kevin Gossman and Chris Bassett are not going to be here.
Yeah, you had three dudes. You had no idea who your fourth and fifth guy was. Now, all of a sudden, you got a legitimate four guys you feel confident going into the offseason.
And you know what? Most importantly, you can treat your fifth guy as a fifth guy now.
Absolutely.
Because you've solidified that.
That's no question.
Sheldon Richmond Hill.
I realize as a batter, the batter has very limited time to see a pitch and decide a ball or strike. But maybe, Kevin, you can explain when a ball starts out like a fastball 4 inches off the plate and stays there, what is the batter seeing that they're swinging at that? Or it's 4 inches above the strike zone, knowing that it's going to be a ball from our perspective on TV. What is the batter seeing that they're swinging at these pitches? It seems to be very often with the Blue Jays that they're swinging at these pitches. The same thing with off-speed pitches. The ball starts out outside and it continues on, and these guys are swinging at pitches that are 6 inches outside when they already started there. Love the show. Wait for your answer.
Look, I think we've been talking about this all year, about the inability to consistently hit velocity and fastballs. That's one reason, right? If I can't, I cheat. I speed myself up. I swing at things because I'm looking for it, because I know that I have to get it geared up. I'm not letting that travel an extra half an inch. I'm not letting that get somewhere in the phone booth where I can do maximum damage because I have trouble hitting velocity and a fastball. Breaking ball, Marquise Grissom told me when I first made it to the big leagues, you ain't going to make a living off hitting the breaking ball. I mean, there's a handful of dudes like the Vladimir Guerrero Juniors of the world who mash both, but there's only a few of those kind of guys. So I think it's that. I think the the spin and the velocity on the pitches now that basically these pitchers have mastered. And then you add a guy like Manaea today who's doing it with deception and crossfire, and it's very hard to see. I mean, he's dropping sidearm for a reason because it works. It's very hard to pick the ball up. I mean, if you're a lefty, you just have to imagine how much you have to spin your head to watch release point. He's throwing that from behind you. So now all of a sudden, you have to start a little open. Now you have to self-correct that when you make your positive move towards the baseball and how hard he throws it and how quickly it gets on you. It's almost impossible to zone it in and swing at your pitch. And that's sort of a great question. It's a very individual answer. It's a different answer for everybody, but a collection of a lineup like the Blue Jays have had the same problem all year. They're like the bottom end at hitting velocity and fastballs, and I've been saying this to Jeff forever on our show, that until the lineup 1 through 9 is consistently better at hitting the good old number one, they always throw that one. I mean, they throw it about 50% of the time. Until you get somewhere, say, in the top 12 in baseball as a team of hitting velocity and slugging off that thing, it's going to be hard to take you serious. So that's why I've said for a while, go out and get your 2 thumpers hitting the middle of the order, and then you can sprinkle it around, and then you could sort of massage your way through guys that have issues doing it.
Lee in Calgary.
If you were GM for a day, where do you think the Blue Jays would need an upgrade after we've watched all these young kids from Buffalo play so well in the last 30 days?
8th and 9th inning guy, 2 thumpers.
Yeah.
I can't lead off George Springer anymore. I got to get Bo Bichette back. We're going to kiss and make up. He's going to be happy because I went out and got 2 thumpers. I'm in win mode now, and I need a plethora of 8th and 9th inning guys. It's just, you look at the good teams that roll in here facing the Blue Jays. It's like they just throw so much different arm angles, and they're bringing serious octane velocity with swing and miss. That's what the Jays need. That's the way you win now. You have good starting veteran guys in the rotation who know how to bridge that gap and make it easier for a manager to hand the ball to the right guy. You're not always going to be able to do it because not every team's got a plethora of 8th and 9th inning guys. Sometimes you got to hand it to the 6th and 7th inning guys, but you can't have 6th and 7th inning guys pitching in the 8th and 9th inning all the time. So it's a real easy answer for me, but it's going to be some heavy lifting. You got to get creative, which he hates to hear, and you got to spend tons of money because predictability costs money. Will they do it? I mean, the process and the process. I'm with you, but we've actually heard people that are running say the word, you got to be creative, and that gets back to your point.
Make some right decisions. I mean,
spend it on the right people. So, yeah, that's
don't outthink yourself.
It's a great question. We've been talking about it forever. It's right in front of them. Look at the game today. They didn't hit. They blew it in the 9th inning. Like, it's like it just continuously plays out right in front of you. It's telling you what you need to go out and get. It's not going to be easy because a lot of teams are looking for that.
Who do you want back out of this bullpen next year?
Chad Green.
That's it? No. Well,
Hennessy's Cabrera. Because you need a lefty. Brandon Little's got to throw most strikes. Like, he's going to be here because they like his stuff. And Petey will figure out some way to get it in the zone a little bit more. And they'll use him in the 6th inning. 6th inning's different than the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning for a lefty who's not used to doing that and coming in and having to throw to big-time hitters in the middle of the order. It's things like that, right? So there's 2 or 3 of them. Like, you want to win, Jeff? Like, this is where they're at, right? I've said this for a little while. They're in the hard-to-hear stage.
They had Tommy Nance pitching in the 9th inning against the playoff team.
They're going to finish, like, 16 games out of first place in the East with a top 6 payroll in baseball. Like, if you can't say it any plainer than that.
In a year where it's not going to take a lot of wins to go to the playoffs.
85 wins is going to get you in. How about the Twinkies might make it with 85 wins?
Let's go to Chris in Oakville.
Unbelievable.
This morning I heard you on the radio saying that it looked like Bowden France would be a 4th or 5th starter, blah, blah, blah. I honestly think this guy has top of the rotation stuff, and especially after taking two no-hitters into the 9th, and he's setting records after 6 starts. So maybe I'd like to hear your opinion on if you want to change your view of him.
Absolutely not. You got three guys who've been around forever. I'm paying $1 billion to. I mean, this is, again, the dude throws 91, 92 miles an hour consistently. How long is this going to last? I'm a huge fan of Bowden's. We've been tooting his horn for quite some time. But it just gets to the point where, like, you're asking him to be the opening day starter next year. That's not blah, blah, blah. It's you got four guys.
I'm more upset that you were on another show.
I'm asked to go on a show from a producer who's real good to me, and I will get up and do that. That's what I do. I'm a team guy. I'm a leader. I'm a team guy. That's the way it is. And I got this guy all fired up because he heard me say something that he didn't like about being a fourth and fifth guy. He's a fourth and fifth guy next year going into the season for the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, a month in, or somebody gets hurt, or somebody's getting traded in the offseason, that may change. He might be a number three. Is he going to pitch ahead of Barrios? Nope. Is he going to pitch ahead of Gosman? Nope. Going to pitch ahead of Bassett? Not if all three of them are here. Jeff, am I wrong or right?
You're right. I mean,
I don't think it matters. Right. Why put a number on it? I mean, I put a number on it because they asked me. Right? If he went to any other good team that's a playoff team, he's a top three guy?
Not a chance.
There you go. I mean, I know I got him fired up, but, it's – and with the Blue Jays going into next year, don't put numbers on them. You got four solid starters who can hopefully turn it over to a better bullpen, and that's the way you win in 2025.
Let's go to Kelowna, B.C., less in Kelowna. Love Kelowna, B.C.
Congrats.
Thanks, buddy.
To Bowden Francis on another fantastic outing. Now, question is, a couple guys have left the Jays, Kikuchi, and done well with other teams. I'm just wondering, guys that do well with other teams, is there something against upper management, maybe? Mm-hmm. And Matt Chapman also comes to mind.
Well, I mean,
you'd
have to ask Trevor Richards, who I think is now unemployed after being traded.
You say he's got good stuff. He throws hard. He's left-handed.
Like, and they have made a change.
You're not a finesse guy. Yeah. You're a grip it and rip it guy.
They've gotten rid of the curveball, and they've got him throwing a slider. That's an organizational thing.
Astros are real good at it. They go to World Series a lot. They know what they're doing.
And I mean, Matt Chapman's the same Matt Chapman he was here.
He's getting overpaid.
That's it. Now, there are times where, Matt Chapman at third base wouldn't.
For 25 large?
Well, I was going to say, do I think that Matt Chapman in the middle of the order makes this team better? No.
Would they be 500 or better with him playing third and hitting sixth?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think. You know what? They would be what they were last year. Maybe. They would be what they were last
year. You're putting a lot on Matt Chapman.
I'm saying he's not the answer, but I'm saying if Matt, maybe they would be as good as they were, but you'd have the same, slop coming out of the bullpen. So I this whole thing about why do guys leave here and become and get better? I mean, I don't have all the trades that were made in front of me right now, but I don't think every player that Ross Atkins has traded has actually turned, like Bowden Francis and Trevor Richards came here for Rowdy Tellez. Rowdy Tellez playing for you?
For the most part, they've been really good with their pitching. USA's got really good stuff.
They've made good calls.
He went to the best organization in the American League.
I mean, they have. I will say this. There are guys, Jason Adam, Brian Baker, every organization has those guys. They have tied the can to some relievers who've turned out to be okay. But
I think they got a different model than everybody else. They think they can add and subtract instead of power their way through to get to the playoffs.
That's fair.
Most organizations don't feel that way.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because it's cheaper. Finesse is cheaper.
Yeah.
Power costs you. Yeah. Moolah.
Well, that's fair. Howard in Toronto.
Great what Bowden did, but it was a loss. And everybody, Schneider especially, was giddily excited. It was a loss. Nobody cares that the bullpen gave the thing up. Green is having a terrible time. Your comments. Thanks.
Howard.
Oh, Howard, you haven't been listening.
Jeez, man. You have not been listening,
man,
to.
Man, we've been hammering that forever.
And you know what? I mean, I'm sorry. To me,
it's a good thing. We're looking for positives to talk about here.
It's not just that. A guy carrying a no-hitter in the ninth inning is pretty is cool.
We didn't expect to do this.
You're going to ask me.
He's doing it with 91 miles an hour, who we rarely see do it.
I will ask you this, Howard. What stood out in this game to you? What surprised you? If you're surprised that the bullpen imploded, that you got this out of Chad Green, you have not been watching Chad Green for the last couple of days. And if you're surprised that this is bullpen imploded like this, you've not been watching this team since May. So the only thing that happened in this game that matters for the Blue Jays is that Bowden Francis continued to build on a good season, to cement his staff. Luis De Los Santos, he's not here next year. I mean, I wish he'd made the play at third base. It doesn't matter. He's not here.
John did make the comment about last time you did this, you handed me the ball the lead, like a bigger lead. Yeah. He did make a comment like that. Howard, I don't know what you want John to do. You want John to throw all of his players under the bus? John knows exactly what we know. His bullpen's not real good. Yeah. He knows that.
But I think John's point is, you're right. I mean, it would be great if this was a win and we were sitting here saying, man, this is great. The Jays are a game up in the wild card spot.
I look at it. It shows you exactly what they need going into the offseason. They can't wonder about it. And it also solidifies that now they got an extra starter that they weren't counting on halfway through the season, which is kind of cool.
Our friend Dan Shulman said in August that this month was going to be one long fact-finding mission for the Blue Jays. That's exactly what it has turned into.
Mm.
Some of the stuff has been good. Bowden Francis.
Yeah.
A lot of it hasn't been good. George Springer looks like,
George is the last person you should.
No, but I'm saying that, there was a time where George had it going on a bit. Well, that's kind of stopped.
They were still in it.
Dalton Varsho's made some strides. Some of the young guys are at least interesting. I mean, I think more of Will Wagner now than I did before. Spencer
Horwitz.
Had a good
at bat in the fourth inning when they scored a run against a tough pitcher.
But, I mean, other than that,
I think the fact-finding mission is over. You know what you got. Y'all all of a sudden in the next 15 games ain't going to find out anything you already don't know. This is what I said. The evaluation of talent, it needs to get quicker. Like, you already know what Horwitz is. You sort of kind of know that Will Wagner's going to give you some quality at bats, can play defense, and it's not going to hurt you on that side of the ball, and is a smart base runner. You know that Addison Barger's got bat speed and can, sort of solidify the strike zone a little bit better and has left-handed power, which is what we've been yelling and screaming for. Yep. Like, all of a sudden, in the next 15 games, you ain't going to find out something you don't already know. So, for me, that part of it's over.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at this – organization right now in totality, what don't I know? Well, there were a couple of guys acquired at the trade deadline we haven't seen in the majors yet. Three, Class A, the third baseman. I keep drawing a blank as a Charles McDowell, whatever. The third baseman from Pittsburgh, the infielder from Pittsburgh.
He's a little young,
McAdoo, that's right.
McAdoo's a little young.
Yeah. But I'm saying.
Bloss doesn't seem like he's ready for this.
We haven't seen from them.
Yeah.
Things from them. You know what I keep thinking about? Given all this opportunity and given all this playing time that's out there, Aurelvis Martinez picked a bad time to flunk a test.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he was sort of in the boat like everybody else.
Yeah, but
yeah, what position is he playing?
Does matter. If this guy can, he can take at bats from De Los Santos. He can take at bats from Schneider.
Yeah, he's not playing third. He's probably not an everyday second baseman. We've seen that. He ain't going to play first. He ain't going to DH every day because he don't hit enough homers. It gets back to the evaluation of talent and what going into next season is going to look like. I'm talking about right now.
If he was here, you could evaluate him. This is the perfect time for Aurelvis Martinez to be here, not spring training. You don't want to, you'd rather know what he is. Maybe he's Davis Schneider. Wouldn't you rather find that out this year that you can't count on him?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. This was a great opportunity for Aurelvis Martinez and a great opportunity for the organization to find what he was about. I mean, and I think that's a wasted opportunity for him. It's a wasted opportunity for the organization. I mean, he's your top position prospect, and you're not going to know anything about him. I mean, I guess maybe they can send him to the Arizona Fall League or whatever, but man, I'll tell you what, I'd sure like to know if Aurelvis Martinez was here and was doing what Will Wagner was doing. I've also maybe got a possibility of trading the guy. I guess what I'm saying, this is a missed opportunity. There's hopefully we're not seeing another year like this. And hopefully we're not seeing another year where Aurelvis Martinez is playing every day at seven different positions. This would be the year for Aurelvis Martinez to be here getting his feet wet, going 0 for 20 or going 4 for 8.
I think what they've done too is allowed you to, because of what other teams have seen these guys do at the big league level, if you want to trade them to get what you
exactly
need.
Exactly. What
get creative. It would have,
Keith in Scarborough.
I was just wondering what you thought about Dalton Varsho batting number 2. Like, he's a great fielder, but he's not even batting 220. And over his career, his numbers still under 220. Just let me know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton Varsho is going to play good defense. Stick him in the lineup someplace. I mean, hopefully next year I've got, I mean, I don't know, somebody else, Bo hitting second, Vladdy third, Thumper A hitting in the cleanup spot, maybe George Springer hitting fifth or sixth. I mean, Dalton Varsho, though, you talked about this earlier this week. You have seen signs of progress from him, haven't you?
Yeah, I think he's trying to use the whole field, which is, you know, give him at least a chance to be productive and be a tougher out. But again, it gets back to that thing. You know, again, you understand why they're sticking him in the two hole, because they want him to gain confidence and momentum hitting in front of the big boy. That's what they're trying to do. You understand what they're trying to do. But going into next season, like, you can't have Kirky hitting cleanup against a lefty or Ernie Clement like today. Like, you just can't.
Was this 13th different cleanup hitter?
We get it. We understand. All of this is what you're trying to find out. But, you know, it's what Bass has said. You need some big boys around the thumper in the middle, which is Vladdy at first base.
Let's squeeze one more caller in. Mike in Tilsonburg.
Love your show, guys. Kevin, you look good, Mike. In that blue and black.
Thanks, Mike.
But I got a question for you. I hear you talking about thumpers and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you be willing to give up one of those pitchers, those top three pitchers, in order to free up some money to get a thumper? That's my question. I'd like to hear y'all talk about that, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
I'm going to get two thumpers no matter how I get them.
Yeah.
If I have to give up one of those or a prospect or two or three of the guys that were here from the trade deadline, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to say this. I'm not moving Berríos.
If I get a thumper who's going to be here for the next 4 or 5 years, I'd move Berríos.
Not moving Berríos. The other guys I would move.
They've tried this. They've tried this road of out-pitching everybody and playing the best outfield defense in the sport.
Great. Who's going to be your
I'll find somebody to do that if I'm scoring an extra run a game. Now I'm a 5-run-a-game guy team instead of a 3.5-run team. And it hides things, and now I go out and spend my money on a bullpen, and I can trade things. Yeah, right. I make it a high school game. So I'm scoring 5 a game. Yeah, I turn it over to a good pen with the lead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good teams do that. Yeah. Ray's been doing that forever. Forever and ever.
You go into a year with Gossman.
Astros been doing that all year.
You go into a year with Gossman, Bassett, and Bowden Francis as your three starters. Good luck to you.
We've had Sampson on this show forever, and I've asked the same question about what the offseason should look like. He said everything's fair game. When you're 17 out of first place.
He's absolutely right. Everything is fair game by trading Jose Berríos. I need someone I know I can give the ball to.
Oh, so you trade. I mean, he's saying trade Vladdy too, but.
No.
That's what Sampson, not you. That's what Sampson
said. Anyhow, 6-2, the Blue Jays have lost to the New York Mets. Tomorrow's an off day. Blair and Barker will be on from 4 to 6 Eastern with Sportsnet 590 Fans. Sportsnet, however, and then Friday, the San Luis Cardinals are for a 3-game series. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Drummondville and Sherbrooke, Quebec. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. They are Canada's number one rust protection.